Did I get to be?
Good afternoon. We are opening up the park committee meeting. It's 1:06 on the 8th of February. Welcome anybody that would like to be here. The two committee chair, the committee members, myself and Spencer Edwards, discussed, and I'm going to be the chairman of this committee. So here we go. Mr. Campa.
I'm trying to get there. Okay. We didn't have much transition time from one to the next. So basically, I gotta get my packet up and running. Can you hear me, Rachel? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, good deal. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure. We have on the agenda, we're discussing and reviewing the park improvements planning efforts for the development of future park renovations, new amenities, trails, grant funding opportunities, and grant application status and next steps. So we've done a heck of a lot. Out of mental energy lately, just in the level of effort and the applications that we put in. So I'm gonna go backwards. I think Joe is the only one on the line from the public that may not have been involved in this process over the last couple of years, but we've done a lot of planning. We've done a lot of public engagement, and I'll tell you, it's paid off a lot. I included, I believe, in my GM report or in this packet, the list of partners that we've developed. There's a little table that
shows. Yeah, I saw them. That.
These are all folks that entities that have come forward with some level of strong interest in participating in the final planning of any park improvements. And implementation, coordinating volunteers, delivering programs, doing educational sessions, helping lay out interpretive and educational components of improvements. And so it's really been overwhelming. That's the kind of support that we need that'll help in increase volunteerism, increase cash contributions to take care of things, and. So we're really proud. That was Rachel and Jen that pulled all that together in the last month of getting ready for these applications. And so there'll be a lot more opportunity for entities to come in and give classes and make the park much more valuable.
Yeah.
You know. And going back to some of the overarching 30,000 foot goals that we have in this. It's interesting because I've heard people talk about building Disneyland or, you know, some type of major high liability staffed adventure water park, something, you know. And in reality, this is, these improvements are intended to reduce expenses, increase beauty, increase the usability of the park, tying the upper park and lower park together, so it's not a separated who lives down there kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's intended to be opened up to each other, made handicapped accessible with trails, with walkways, so that somebody could take their wheelchair from the upper park to the lower park. A space to be able to have events and that are more so than just what we have now, the 49ers Festival.
Are we responsible or is Greg?
I'm sorry?
You
know what?
Okay. Oh, all right. I got it. Okay, he's muted now. So reducing maintenance, reducing expenses, improve facilities that meet the needs of that were identified from the community, and not adding things to the park that are going to jack up the cost of maintaining it. There's no plan for any duplicative facilities, not planning to duplicate what someone else has. We got input along the way in a couple places. There's somebody outside of town that's doing some kind of an adventure park. I wanted to make sure what we were doing was not something that was similar to what he was doing, and it's not. His is on a big scale that have people, guides, taking people through these climbing structures and doing events and all that. Ours is more, just a manufactured boulder, at least the proposal that's out there in that simple term is an area that has various sized boulders for different age kids that, they're pre-manufactured, they've got a rubber surfacing underneath. So if they fall, hit their head, they're hitting it on the rubber, they get this contusion, but not a, not a fracture. Things like the walkways and all that, and taking out turf grass that right now costs us tens of thousands of dollars a year to irrigate, and replacing that with drought tolerant landscape, the cost investment, changing the infrastructure, changing the irrigation, changing the plants comes from the grant, and then the less water that we have to use, the less water costs we have, reduces the park expense. So those are the kind of transitions we're looking at. Replacing the bathroom, completely replacing it and making it sized enough, either one large facility or two medium facilities, to be able to accommodate the loads that we get. I've got pictures that we sent in with the grant application of probably 35 people standing outside in line waiting to get into the bathroom. That's why at the end of the day, it's kind of got poop smear all over it.
Well, yeah.
So to jump into what we've outlined in the agenda document, we really want to just get up to speed on the planning that we've been through and get some additional input and talk about potential next steps. So talking about the fact that we're not doing Disneyland, that we're building improvements that are going to reduce cost of maintenance, be low, a higher probability of facility rental, higher option for somebody to have a wedding, have an event, have a work-related function out there. The facilities we're providing are fixed structures and layout, so that those are something you can do. And again, that's by tying the upper and lower park together. The trail plan has been, as we talked about, if we could get a trail all the way from lift station 16 on the far side of Big Oak Flat all the way to the Resilience Center and the baseball field area, that would be a great goal. If somebody, they can walk across the lighted crosswalk at the Resilience Center, walk onto the Resilience Center property, go across their little bridge, and use their public restroom that they're putting in too, and their parking, and get on the trail and walk all the way to, at least to the park, but potentially on to Big Oak Flat in the future. That is the start of a healthy transition and a healthy community, and very low maintenance. And we have supporters and partners in place that I can guarantee you the maintenance on that is completely covered.
Well, I just want to interject for a second. That's really the basis behind all of these improvements that we've been trying to the background behind a lot of these, or the motivation, is what Pete just said. It's to bring to create a healthy community, offer easy, healthy lifestyle choices. This isn't to build an adventure Disneyland park for revenue generation. Everything in here is created, whether it be entertainment, to enrich lifestyles, to have a small adventure bouldering area where kids can climb on the rocks, if we have a trail that's that allows youth, you know, elderly people, every demographic of our community can have a place to that they can go to. We don't currently have that in this community whatsoever. So if you really look at the proposed enhancements that we've done, they all support healthy lifestyles choices. They're not to have an extravagant adventure experience. They're very conservative and really taking into account all of the different, the majority of what the community was saying, you know, definitely having a space for to not have to go down to the hill to see a concert or to travel really far to take part in some of these fun outdoor events, to be able to have, you know, walking loop trails with nature and native planting and interpretive signage, a trail, you know, a flex space, which allows you to, it's kind of like a universal empty space, a covered picnic areas. All of these are to promote healthy, active community lifestyles. That's what these, you know, the district's goal, the district's motivation has been, is to bring the significantly, because this community significantly lacks that, you know, especially for those that don't live in Pine Mountain Lake. And that's what the district is doing. And that's what's behind a lot of these proposed improvements and things that were needed, obviously, like the Russian facility and the burden and the stuff that we already deal with just being the only stop, you know, for the public restroom on the way to Yosemite.
Yeah.
So I just really wanted to, I feel like the reasons behind things and why the district is doing these things has been kind of lost along the way. People are focusing on certain things and not realizing the reason behind the healthy lifestyle, the active lifestyle. That's what the district's goal was to bring to the community. So not to create, you know, zip lines or, you know, charge money and do anything like that. That's not what's behind these proposed improvements. So I just wanted to kind of reiterate that and bring that to, I feel like that's been left out of a lot of dialogue and conversation surrounding these park improvements and the purpose behind them. Sorry.
No, it's absolutely perfect.
Absolutely.
It's, you know, what's important to convey is that we were, from the very beginning, we wanted to plan this as openly as possible, taking that public input from everybody. There was no input that we didn't bring into the record, bring into our thoughts. It doesn't matter what it is. And just like, you know, and we explained this in one of the last grant application, is how the question was, how did you transition your input that you received into actionable projects? How did you mentally do that? And a perfect example is, you know, having input for a movie theater, and, you know, which is likely not something that the district would venture into to put in a movie theater in Groveland, but taking that concept and providing for that in the amphitheater facility to have the infrastructure to be able to have a really nice place to sit, joining the upper park and lower park in a meadowy environment with a screen out there and watch an outdoor movie. Sure, we can hang it off the existing structure and all of that. But this would be an improved multi-purpose facility for those types of things. And it would, you know, it increases the value of the park. But that's just one example. You know, we have a lot of people looking for spaces, outdoor spaces, to be able to do things that are educational in nature, provide even as simple as a ranger program. If we could get into a series of things that the community wanted to learn about and spread the good of those things on social media versus the garble about it, that's exactly what we're trying to do, to enrich the cultural, you know, the information and cultural opportunities in the community through facilities at the park that, you know, they do increase revenue potential, and they do increase volunteerism and they do increase, you know, value in the park and get more donations. But we transitioned from a lot of different things, and there were a couple things that came through very clear: trail, park bathrooms, you know, and connectivity of walkways and
picnic tables,
you know,
and better utilization of the lower park, right?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
And a lot of the things that people were saying, like, this is a great space, you can fit a lot of people in here, it'd be better if it was better laid out, but which, you know, was, that's where the amphitheater came in, something that could be utilized by either concerts, outdoor movies, ranger talks. Then the amphitheater itself just serves as the connection between, so the disconnection between the two parks was huge.
Mm-hmm.
And then the amphitheater is very, like when people say it's conservative, it's probably gonna be three levels kind of carved into the hillside where people can then sit, have more places, just sit, enjoy, eat food.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Watch your kids play.
Yeah.
When people really, they did want, you know, the 49er Festival is the only thing going on in this town. And that was not, you know, when people got down to see the lower park, a lot of the feedback I got was, this is, you know, this could be a really great space, and it really can be. And be, but, you know, it's got to be inviting. It's got to have that functionality for people to want to, for the chamber to hold concerts or benefit fundraisers, all kinds of things, when you have that space that supports those types of events. So that, you know, that was a huge thing of a lot of feedback that we got back, was just people wanting more things in our community to go to. You know, like I'm saying, there's a lot of really cool things going on, a lot of outdoor events you see in other communities, and Groveland doesn't have that. And people are having to travel to go participate in any of these things.
And Groveland is the 120 is the only undeveloped highway in the Yosemite. Look at 140, look at 41. You got Fish Camp, Oakhurst, Coarse Gold, all 140, you got Mariposa all the way up into the Yosemite. 120, you got the woods. People are gonna develop it up here.
They are.
And we need to get prepared for that, because we're a community service district. I don't know, am I speaking off base here?
No.
Well, we need to get prepared. We already face it anyways, because of just having the public park right off of Highway 120. We already have a lot of confusing. The restrooms were a huge issue. Like in our Clean California grant, that's a huge focus, because they're inadequate. They're always overrun. Something that's more suited for the amount, the demand that's placed on that all the time. And then in addition, you know, it's hard because we don't have a very robust parks and recreation facilities, but, you know, that is one of the services of the district. And it is a service that is, I mean, as we see it, it's severely lacking right now. There is not, I mean, there's a park, it's, you know, it's barely maintained, but if we're really going to be responsible for our parks and recreation service, we felt that we could do a lot better in that service. You know, a lot of focus gets put on the water and sewer, you know, ship and fire protection, because those, you know, it's a matter of opinion, but those tend to become more higher priority. You kind of need those things. And parks gets what it has, and it doesn't feel good when you're at the district and you have a service and you hear a lot of people complain, or this would be nice, or the bathrooms are gross, or this could be a nice park, or there's holes in the ground, you know, because it is just like if we got complaints with water quality or sewer, we would address it. And we've gotten them with the parks, and we should, you know, if it's a service we're going to take on, then we should do it right and care about it. So
and reach out and see what the public is looking for, mm-hmm. what their priorities are, and match those two together. We have to be able to be successful in the grant applications, and you know, we're trying to meet diverse needs, and you know, because there's a good segment of the community and that doesn't have access inside the Pine Mountain Lake gates. They can't go there.
Right.
They don't have the amenities. They don't have the access to the amenities. So they're either, you know, go have the birthday party in Sonora and McDonald's, mm-hmm. or, you know, maybe go to the park. But I mean, so we're, the part of it is too, making the beautifying the community and making it more attractive so that when you do have another couple hundred employees between these lodges and everything else, that maybe they are capable of locating their family here.
Yeah.
Which makes the, you know, makes the schools healthier, you know, and keeps people from having to drive all the way down the hill all the time. And
there,
you know,
is a certain faction of the community that does not want Groveland to expand. You're going to run into that. So just be prepared to let it roll off your back like water off a raincoat.
Well, we're not really. These tech right here for this facility aren't expanding anything.
Yeah.
They're enhancing.
Just
what's already
be prepared
existing.
For that, because
yep.
I get one of those people live next door to me. So
yeah. So let me. I'm projecting this up here.
Ignore
them. So I'm gonna go by that. And
I'm gonna
through it. No, I mean we have to take everything in because you know that's how we find out that we're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And it's just the. We spend a lot of mental energy, and I do go through bouts of depression thinking about how the heck the message can get so twisted. And
Ms. Crow was confused about a lot of the things she was talking about.
She was speaking on behalf of a group of people. It wasn't just her.
Well,
ones. Yeah.
So,
that information was
so
incorrect.
Yeah.
Let's look at what is.
Yeah.
Okay. This does it. I'm going to point this out right off the bat. This has a future RV park right here on the hill.
Yeah,
that has been removed from this plan because we haven't looked at that. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So it's not, there are no grants that we've submitted to build an RV park. We haven't been through the CEQA process. We haven't figured out the feasibility or where, or if there are partners in this thing or anything else, that's in the future. That's, you know, it's something that we will look at because, you know, we
it
we
was
think,
on the list of possibilities.
Right.
Yeah.
It's something that if there are, believe me, if there are going to be organized cyclocross events or running events that take place here, they're going to be a segment of the community that is going to want to pull their RV up the hill and park here, park at Pine Mountain Lake. And we never, you know, if you're trying to add another, you know, couple hundred people staying in Groveland on the weekend, you know, they're not going to.
There's no place to park there.
So anyway, so take that out of the equation for right now. The orange line here shows pretty much the trail reaches. And I'll start at the top. That's the ball field. You can see it's phased out in phase three. This is just initially just because we know we need to deal with the bathroom, the tying the upper and lower park together, and the backbone trail. So in phase three is an extension of the trail over to the Resilience Center. The county's already got plans for a little bridge and a gateway and an informational trailhead using their parking area. And ultimately what's called the future sports complex is not the 49, it's not Levi Stadium. You know, it's not that. It's actually exactly what Steve Griefer visioned a long time ago.
Yeah.
I remember sitting in a committee meeting, he said, you didn't move your skate park over there, put some lights out there and security. Oh, that makes sense. The architect saw it the same way. So that's,
mm-hmm.
If we did a pump track, or possibly it's something like similar to what they have in Oakdale. It's a combination of a, you know, in-ground bike, scooter, skateboard facility,
mm-hmm.
with some metal ramps off to the side. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, those are future things. We'll dial those in. The interesting thing here is you can see the trail. We've got a ready-made trail already that goes from the park. If you get on the other side of the creek there, up on the landing, up on the Hetch Hetchy Railroad, you go up the hill and it takes you right into that 37-acre parcel.
Yeah.
And there's a large loop in there. You can see it on the Google Earth imagery.
Yep. Yeah.
So the grant that we're getting is going to clear all the fire hazard and then we have also applied the Clean California grant that we submitted. Provided some of the cleanup of the property you know, if that's successful, that'll clean that property up and open up those roads a little bit and, you know, provide that first segment of a 1 mile loop. So you can go to the park, go across that little footbridge and up the hill, get on the trail, do a 1 mile loop and come back, you know. Also, that grant application had quite a bit in it for a kiosk with informational signage so that you can, wayfinding, they call it, so that when you pull in, you know exactly, you go to that kiosk, you can see, you know, where everything is, lays it out.
Up by the parking lot.
Yeah. So this also shows future extension of the trail toward Big Oak Flat. Phase one are the improvements that we submitted within the rural recreation and tourism. All these other lines up above on the hillside are, you know, 2K, 5K courses, walking, hiking.
Biking?
In and around the hills. This is where our Groveland Trailheads come into helping us out. They'd love to have that facility right here. So then this is the existing layout that doesn't, we don't need to get into a lot of detail there, but this is the way that this was laid out for the purposes of the rural recreation and tourism grant. With a future bathroom and a future bus shelter. Again, those are adjacent to the parking lot, and that they weren't part of this particular application because we knew the scoring for this grant scored you down if you were building major support facilities like a bathroom or a bus shelter. You have to build the amenities that are attractive to people, okay? And so that's why the picnic and events plaza that occurs out in front of what used to be the old stage, taking those poles down, putting a different surfacing down. It'll be trees and different types of surfacing and tables. Just a really nice, I don't want to call it European style, just more greenery and less, concrete and poles and everything else. It's going to be a really, really nice picnic area and events plaza. Something you can have a wedding out there, and it'd be really nice to set up. The seating meadow and the amphitheater and stage are fairly simple. We can show the graphic of that. It basically just uses that hillside as a seating area. Great for acoustics. All the infrastructure is associated with that. Basically, just hillside seating, terraced hillside seating. With a small stage. The red line is the walkway that it has to weave back and forth to get from the upper part to the lower part to make it handicapped accessible. And you'll see a rendition of that in another slide. That's, we're calling that a walking loop. The existing basketball court is part of the trailhead information. It's flex space. It's using that concrete for taking out the fixtures, but using that flat space and the area around it for maybe exercise classes. They talked about, you know, for kids to skate on, you know, just inline skating, different type of organized and just chunk of concrete. But the way that it's going to be set up and the things that our partners will bring into it, it'll show its use, but a little potentially a little covered area there too, as well, like pergola. Adventure play and team building course, those are simply just things, slack lines strung between the trees. It just is a balance exercise. A couple of different things that they put in that where you play games, you know, it's good for those that are trying to get kids out to, you know, to so grandpa can show them how to play a game out here, you know, and find your way through this, and you got to step 1 foot here or 2 feet there, and you got to climb up on this. And so really it's a nice opportunity. The bouldering areas are just that. They're just boulders of different sizes that are manufactured out of concrete, look like granite, but, you know, like a little mini Yosemite Valley that somebody 5 years old can climb on, or somebody.
Not a rock climbing wall.
No, it's just little, it's, I mean, show you.
Just to clarify that, we're not building a rock climbing
wall. Yeah.
Right. So this is the kind of the rendition that we're really pleased with, looking from the other way. You know, taking a photograph of actually standing down there in the park in that line of trees, looking toward the concession stand barbecue and
the path that creeps to the right.
Yeah, creeps to the right.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's just a little nature path with native plantings. Rather than turf grass, you've got this, you know, it's a California native meadow grass and all that. It's a different level of experience.
Yeah,
the seating meadow is basically just, you know, it may be rock-faced, terraced, like little retaining walls, you know, but you sit on there.
Seating meadow?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that.
and it'll have, sure, you know, boulders and different things to really, and it'll be basically, when you're in the upper park, you're going to see this, and it's going to flow down into the lower park.
Yeah.
And there may be even some nice seating areas up on the very top so that there's a concert going on like there is today. Mm-hmm.
There's a concert down there today?
No, I'm just showing the picture. Okay. This
guy's playing the guitar.
Pergola.
But anyway, we've also got to, in any layout, accommodate the 49er Festival and everything else to make sure that, you know, because in that particular case, you may have booths setting up and down this walkway as well as the other spaces.
They'd like that.
So this, you know, this is the way it lays out on for events. You know, you put the concessions up in the in the event space. We can also move other areas around where the basketball court is, because that won't be the same anymore. And then basically just throughout. So this was looking to make sure that we accommodated that flow. This was the budget for the rural recreation and tourism grant that we submitted. It's it is a maximum $3 million. We're right really close to that. And we are proposing the adventure and team building elements that I just talked about, that are, you know, just that are down where the skateboard park is. It is the new Trailhead Flex Court, the amphitheater hillside seating, new Creekside Trail and demonstration gardens, and the irrigation and lighting and some of those things down there. The walking loop construction, which is this, you know, be a 6-foot wide sidewalk that leads down the secondary circulation paths, you know, that are additional areas to provide accessible routes. A picnic and event plaza that we went over, the infrastructure improvements. There's a lot of stuff out there that between fences and retaining walls and, you know, lights and stanchions and different things that don't serve any real purpose that need to come out to free up that space and define the space. And then we've got an offer project administration, construction management, that kind of stuff. So that $2.988 million grant request is in. It's 100% grant as it was submitted. So this next drawing here that's up on the screen was what was submitted with the second grant, which was the Clean California grant. And this deals with additional improvements, doing the cleanup of the newly purchased property. And so instead of getting a dumpster out there and getting that hauled out and cleaned up, and that allows for a trail to be opened up immediately through there. New covered transit area with just a small shelter, similar to what they had in Yosemite. Jen found a really nice picture of what they have there, just a chunky wooden cover structure with some benches underneath it. You know, mm-hmm. just something nice instead of a bench with orange bollards or yellow bollards in the parking space.
Yeah.
You know. And then coupled with a relocated restroom. If you look The funny thing is, you see how the restroom is out in the parking lot and causes that the street has to curve around it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's I don't know exactly how the timing of these things, but it creates a little bit, there's not a good line of sight from when you're driving into the parking lot on that side toward the library, and you can't see back this way. So you know the restroom gets in your way of line of sight there.
It's because the restroom was there first.
Yeah.
And then GCSD gave Stitches that property and they developed it. So they developed around the bathroom.
Yeah. So anyway, and also that bathroom is not serviceable. It's not something that we can go in and just put new fixtures in.
Uh-huh.
The concrete absorbs all sorts of things that go on in there, and the whole structure is just a disaster to try to maintain. And it's not big enough. When we can't control and say no buses, the buses are going to show up. We can try to permit them and things like that, but. It is going to be a location where they stop and yards goes there and everything else. And so we're going to have a line of people that go to the bathroom, and bathrooms are designed for a certain number of people per hour. So we are looking at what that max demand is, and we will have adequate number of holes. So it's a bigger facility there. Also, removing some of the turf up there, not going out and taking all the turf out, but turf has a hard time growing up there because there's a lot of shaded areas, and it's difficult to irrigate when you got a bunch of big trees too. So you've got gopher problems, you got it really takes a lot to grow the grass. So it's going to be more walking areas, paths, granite paths, concrete paths, tables that are surrounded by grass, some covered tables, a picnic area where the old bathroom is. So some covered tables there, right adjacent to the playground.
Down the toilet pictures.
Oh God, yeah, they're horrible.
Yeah.
So then this just shows the boundaries of the Clean California Project in blue, and that's Mary Laverne Park, and the what we're calling the Jefferson Mine Loop Trail. That goes onto the GCSD property, and there's actually an overlooked area that's really, really beautiful up there. It's just a great little jaunt right downtown. And that trail segment is not going to be that improved. It's basically just dirt roads.
Your pal wants to ask a question. Have you had a chance?
Okay. Sure.
Afternoon. How are you doing? I didn't want to interrupt you.
I need to stop.
Yeah, I just had a quick question. First, we wanted to participate in, helping out with the grant funding. Unfortunately, it was kind of last minute on getting something back approved by our board. So I can send you guys the schedule, our board meeting schedule, if you want, get it to your staff so that, if you guys need some assistance with, some positive comments or letter writing or whatever, that needs to go in front of our board to support you on a project like this, or these projects or grants, just let us know in time so we can get in front of our board at the board meeting for future reference. That's all. I'll send it to you guys. But the only question I had was consideration of parking. I see you got a little bit of overflow over on the county parking area, but when you guys have large events down there, I know that parking has been an issue in the past, and it kind of overflows over to the grocery store and other things. Have you considered adding some additional parking in some of these other areas, maybe behind some of the layout that you have there?
Yeah, yes, Joe. I think we definitely have heard that, not on a daily basis, but on a certainly for events. And if the number of events do increase, obviously the parking is going to have to increase. There are opportunities on the GCSD property here, to add a small parking area that's directly adjacent to the trail and really accessible to the park. The major areas that parking would likely be easiest to do are going to be at the where the baseball field is, that whole level area there. Again, you got to either get on your scooter, you know, your non-motorized scooter, you got to walk it and get on your wheelchair to get to the park, or, you know, the Resilience Center parking is going to also serve as a trailhead and parking area there. And that's, I mean, you know, it's about a quarter mile is all it is of trail, about a quarter mile from that huge parking lot that they're developing there. So that'll take some of the heat off during events. But what I've done in other communities is actually just made an arrangement with the transit to send one of their 26 passenger buses or whatever, and just have them do a loop. So we could do multiple parking areas further out and bring them in just for that event. You know, and that's the bus shelter part of it. There is kind of a waiting area by the bathroom that is envisioned. So yeah, probably the third phase, and depending on how well, you know, if we're successful in all this stuff, and you know, we do see that we are going to start seeing more events, then we can do some calculations on how many spots we need.
Okay. I just brought up because, you know, having been through so many over the years, you know, I've seen where you guys have struggled with that, and we get it. We use the same thing. We'll run shuttle buses on the 4th of July to help, you know, get folks around. So I get it. I just want to bring it up. It's just a thought.
Yeah, it's a good thought. You know, the hard part is to find it in close to the park itself.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we can get Caltrans to give up their their courtyard right here, and you know.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah, and we are,
or even just a piece of it,
looking at some other properties that that are fairly close in that some additional parking can be developed on.
I think for most of your events, you know, and most of the use for the park, you know, your overflow on the county library parking is probably fine. You know, but as you guys have been saying, part of the, you know, one of the reasons why you're dealing with some of the issues, you're getting more and more visitors up to Yosemite and in the area. So parking becomes an issue. I learned that a long time ago. But anyway, that's all I had. I think it's a great project. You guys are doing a good job, and just wanted to weigh in on that. And you've answered all my questions. I've gone through and read everything. So that's all I had. Thank you.
Yeah, no, appreciate the input, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Should I close that chat window real quick? Just so in the middle of the. Sorry, I know it's.
No,
it's. So many things I want. So this was an immediate opportunity with not a lot of work to be able to get this 1 mile loop dialed in. It starts right in the. Go over to the park. So you go across that little footbridge, mm-hmm. and we'll have to clean up that little segment of we'll have to do a little switchback trail that we can, I mean, I could get volunteers together on a weekend and build that little segment to link those up. You can actually access it from right here in our parking lot.
Wow.
You know, yeah. It's not that far away. In fact, you might even be able to see it. It's yeah, I mean, we're just off where the yellow is. That's where that parking lot is. So it comes off there, you go up a little ways, and you'll actually probably go up where the trees are cleared out. And then you go up and around what we saw was that little triangular Casareto piece right there. It actually follows the edge of the hillside and then comes over and ties in. And then you've got already an established road loop there. And that's where we'll be pulling the RV out and all the trash that's there. Most of the trash is in that first segment and just right where it splits off on either side, mostly on the left side.
Up yes, here?
Exactly. Yep. That's where the majority of it is. And then this little scenic lookout is so cool because you can, I mean, you can see all the way to the Tuolumne River Canyon. You can see Pine Mountain Lake from up there. and the whole, you know, just the whole, I don't know if it's a valley, but whatever,
it's like a 360.
It just is.
View.
Yeah. And there's even higher spots right behind that, right, you know, in that really densely treed area.
Jefferson.
The Jefferson Mine.
Yeah. That, I don't know. Anything
when you look at the maps, mm-hmm. the area where this loop is mm-hmm. the Jefferson Mine. And then the property to the
mine.
Yes.
Our part of our property is on the Quartz Mine. I don't remember. There's okay. two different mining
cool.
claims.
Yeah, cool. Very cool.
So yeah, it was really, really kind of a neat. I mean, there's not really anything to show off there, mm-hmm. but we might be able to have, you know, bring in and arrange some rubble piles and have a, you know, some interpretive stuff there with some really cool signage and a little shade area where people can, you know, as they're on this loop, they can learn about California water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the reason the Bay Area is what it is because of the water that they got from this system.
Well, the water rights that they bought from Tuolumne County how many years ago, and we're hurting for it now.
Yeah, they, you know, I mean, the wow. Silicon Valley, everything, all of that, they moved that water up and down that corridor. Mm-hmm. So there's a big tie, our area with the railroad grade and mining has a big tie to probably the Bay Area, yeah, and Groveland being right in the heart of it. So that is that defines what we applied for with the other project, the Clean California project. That's actually 1.369 million. And again, these are initial numbers with a 20% contingency, and this also includes the design and environmental, the cost for design and environmental for the entire trail. So if this grant is awarded, we'll have the money to be able to do the design and planning, which is estimated to be 46,000 for the environmental review and 92,600 for the design. So everything ready to go to construction.
But shovel ready. Huh?
Yeah. This also includes, you know, the replacement restroom of adequate size, the drought tolerant landscape, the trash cans, the you know, trash cans on Main Street, planters, benches throughout the park, cover picking areas, some really, really nice stuff. Then the next page.
How did you get in contact with all these guys? The Blue Zone, Yosemite Highway. Well, okay.
Well, Blue Zone's in Venice Health.
Oh, is that what it is?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, we.
Sierra Club, Southern Tuolumne County Historical Society. All of them came together to help out, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Outstanding.
Do you want to explain how we got there?
What's
you
that?
were Rachel.
Staff contact.
Yeah. We looked. Well, we either had participation through this entire. You remember this? I don't know if you have our like schedule of the public engagement, but this started all the way back in September of 19, mm-hmm. I'm correct. And so we've had a lot of either, you know, community stakeholders that have been involved in throughout the process. And then the district also, you know, identifying stakeholders and, you know, important people that, you know, would have a use for these facilities. And so either people had said, hey, when you get to a point, reach out to us and let us know how we can assist, or the district reached out to people that we thought would be, you know, to say, you know, people that hadn't really followed the whole thing, but we had a concept enough to show them, like, hey, this is the district doing this. This is what, based on the engagement that we've received, now we're submitting grants. We think, like, for example, the Forest Service, we think this is a great opportunity, like the amphitheater thing for you guys that you have ranger talks or whatever. Is that something you'd be interested in utilizing the park? And they would go do their thing, talk to the boss, yeah, absolutely. And there are, and you know, or we could do a variety of other things and then issue a letter of support. So that was kind of the process and in the gaining the stakeholders. You know, Stitches was another one. They They utilize park, we share the library, we've done. And a lot of stuff was people throughout the, you know, they'd ask us, oh, hey, can we, like Southside Senior, Southside Community Connection, whatever you guys call yourself now. They wanted to use our park. They changed their name like at least five times since inception. You know, there would be, oh, can we utilize the park for this? Or like the bus that was going, you know, when they, but can you waive the fees? And so the district, in order to waive fees for something like that, it needs to bring some type of benefit back to the community or the district. So we would say, yeah, you know, we don't mind doing that, but, you know, would you mind being engaged in this process with us? Because your input's really important and support would be, you know, really important too once we get further down the road. So we've done that with other, you know, ditches with their charge port station that we gave them at land for the charging stations, Southside Connection. So a lot of, you know, just the district really, I mean, when this happened, you know, especially the park and when he came on, creating that connection and partnerships in the community, we knew was really important for just to have in general to gain support for a lot of the things and really to reach out and bring people in that either didn't know how to get involved or, you know, are willing to get involved. So there's just a lot of ways, but at the, you know, at the end, when this was happening, it was, okay, here we are. We developed a letter of support. We would reach out to them. Are you still interested in this? And so it's just a thing with Rachel and I going back and forth for the most part, and just reaching back out to the people that had already expressed have just been part of the process or ones that we thought would be interested and maybe not didn't know about it. So I don't know if Rachel wants to add anything to that.
A lot has happened since S'mores down in the park.
Yeah, a lot has happened since.
Okay.
Yeah, that's just an, I think it's in here.
Down, but no kidding, impressed.
Yeah, we get a lot of questions, or one of the things like keeps us, you get like misinformation and people are saying, well, I never knew. And how did the district come up with this? We have a whole list of the dates and the information that was gained back. We had a lot of public engagement. I don't even know how many events, at least six.
Fully organized. Events,
yeah. And then the information being taken from that and thought that then helped the next process. So, and then we'll probably get to the point where we can actually, because we talk a lot about it in the grant of how that process evolved and then how that was incorporated into the next steps. And so it was really interesting actually being forced to go back and put everything of like this led to this, and these design concepts came out to this, and then this was brought to this group of the public and this group of the public, then it was refined a little bit more, and then it was, you know, vetted in this way and then brought back. So that's, you know, it's been a lot of years and different, a lot of different people have been involved in different parts of the process, and that's a lot of how like the list is.
It's amazing. I am just no kidding amazed at what you guys have done.
Yeah, it's been overwhelming to the point where it's just head spinning. And these guys just continue to
when you say these guys, not only is it you, but it's Jen,
that's
and
what
Rachel,
I mean. Yeah,
the other everybody up front working on.
That's the thing. Everybody picks up for everybody else. When Jen has to spend 3 days and Rachel has to spend 3 days doing nothing else but this stuff, everybody there is doing their business and everything else that comes up, you know, and providing input and sounding board.
That's what good leadership provides.
Yeah.
But we knew with the partners would come on, you know, a lot of it when you're talking about stuff is when we started, when the architect finally put design concepts together and there's visuals, that's when people start really getting excited. And then people say, oh, you know, they sign up on our list. Oh, let me know. I'd like to be part of this. And we knew that was part of the process. So a lot of the excitement, you know, came from when we started releasing the potential concepts in the community, where even more participation came through. So.
Yeah. So it's, and for example, the next step when we go to design the layout of those interpretive signs for showing the mine and the, you know, California water stuff and everything else, we use the Stitches group to make sure that what we were doing and what, you know, what our architect and our designer were doing on that signage and the layout and everything is historically factual.
Yeah.
Includes some true, you know, really cool Groveland stuff in it. So we would propose that we bring these partners in, either all of them or in pieces, and sit with the committee. You know, if we're awarded the money, we're going to want to move into that design phase, and these people will be here
in
that design phase to make sure that we're getting it right. You know,
get their little logo down at the bottom right of every plaque.
It just raises the value for all this stuff.
It's
really
it's amazing.
Blue Zone is a national initiative. They're forming this in Pauline County. When we landed on it, both Jen and I had absolutely no clue.
I never heard of it.
It's based on the premise that in the countries and areas of the world, even parts of the country where people live the longest and the healthiest life, it's because of the connectivity like this. It's connecting people to public spaces, giving them options from sitting in a car.
And making them easy. That's another thing. Making healthy lifestyle choices or healthy activity easy. You know, where they can get on a trail not far from their house and access these types of amenities that bring healthy lifestyles to them.
And it's fun to do.
But it's the ease. You know, people, if it's easier, it's thought that then more people will be healthier because it's easier to access to things. People that have to join a gym or travel, long distances to get to a place. When you have that barrier there, a lot of people don't do it because they've got a barrier that they've got to overcome.
Right.
These help communities make access to these, as easy as possible.
Imagine. Being able to say, hey, get on your bike, ride down, get yourself an ice cream at the new place, and I'll see you at 3:00. Mm-hmm. Don't get on the highway.
Right. Don't get on the highway. And that was the whole problem.
That opens up a whole new simple way for people to,
How are we going to provide security? It just popped into my mind. Security. Get on your bike, go buy ice cream. I got an 8-year-old little girl that I hate to let out of my sight. But how am I going to?
Most part of it is going to be that you're going to have sight distance. And the more people that you have using it, the cleaner and safer it's going to be.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I mean,
we're not going to be able to turn our kids loose and let them go down the big old flat. We're going to have to participate in the adventures.
But you could,
I want to participate in the adventures.
Yeah.
That's not something. That's not something we could do it for.
The main segment of the trail, likely from at least the park, the resilience center, and the sports complex, will have lighting.
Okay.
It's not going to be lit up like a light, but it's going to have the lighting enough that will extend the experience. In other words, you can be out in the evening and it starts to get dark. You can still have that line of sight and see.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, we might have partners in, with CHP or anybody, else, security, safety and all that. This packet also included all the letters of support.
I saw some of those.
That's really cool.
People just can't wait.
I was reading those.
Me too.
Very cool.
So these are all partners and players. Would you, as a committee, would you be interested in having them be invited and each talk about how they want to participate in the remainder of the project starting to develop that list of things, to do's that we can.
I would definitely. Yeah, that would be great. Yeah. I think maybe.
It'd be nice if we could have it at the park.
Should we take it to the whole board, or do you want to just have them talk to the committee? What do you think?
Oh, I think we should just talk to the committee.
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. I have no opinion on that.
I think it's more organic flow when that's the point of these committees.
Yeah.
When you're in a board meeting, you're a lot of
board stuff. More restricted.
So I'm gonna jam through this real quick, and then I'll backtrack. I want to put my computer away so I can open my brain. This is the view from that know, just one part of that property.
Wow,
once
look at that.
Cleared out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's really got some nice stuff. There's a nice view on the property.
Yeah.
What's that?
It's just an abandoned
RV out on the property.
Yeah.
We're gonna make it an adventure zone.
This is, again, the more that you increase.
What is that?
That's behind the barbecue.
Yeah.
Somebody throw their trash out there.
Yep.
Yeah. After a party.
Bastards.
The more that you increase the human presence,
the less it happens.
You see people every developed trail I've been on. You see more people picking up trash, you know, and
I do it. I pick up trash.
When I walk trails,
I do it.
I mean, but I can.
So these are what we submitted with the Clean California grant. Just basically, you know, we only have. What did you say? Three cans. That's crazy. It's got to be within 20 feet of people or they're never going to carry it.
Right.
You know, so this is the little yards thing where they obviously just pick a parking space and converted it. Mm-hmm. It's functional, but
sure.
We'll have, and this is, I was pretty proud of this picture. I didn't.
That's a line into the bathroom.
Yeah, no one spoke English in that whole group. I wanted to tell them I was going to take a picture of them.
Obviously, a tour bus from San Francisco. Yeah.
Yeah. They all had cameras, but they I just felt bad taking a picture of them. You know, one guy's still looking at me, but I just stopped to take a picture because I knew. You know, I mean, this just shows why the bathrooms get in the condition that they are.
Right.
This is the proposed location where the new bathroom and bus shelter will be, just in between the trees there, right next to the bench, and there's a handicap access sidewalk right there.
Spencer, you know that's going to be a change, right?
What?
Your whatever you're putting up.
Oh, I'm just drawing. I'm going to talk about it later.
Okay.
There's just, you know, so we just gave some examples of the outreach that we did, you know, beginning with this.
I'm in there. Yeah. Sitting there with your wife.
That was that? Early on stuff.
At the high school.
This was our beer garden event.
Mm-hmm.
And this is it.
I noticed that guy.
No public restrooms. Restaurant located there. I just passed the fire department.
They're going to have to put up a new sign when the county puts theirs in over by the jail.
So this is what it looks like.
What's that? The new property?
That's a trail already. It's there.
Yeah, it's a hedging railroad.
Yeah. So it looks like it's perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, it how much work is it going to take to get that, you know?
None.
Darn
little.
Yeah. So.
And that's on our property. The area that.
What's that, Pete?
It's old remnants. We don't know exactly what
that's
it
like
is.
That's like except for cattle.
It's light, but it's huge. It's on the railroad grade. I don't know. You can see there's these two kind of cement things on either side that have, like, I don't know if the rails went through them. We have no idea what it is. We tried to figure it out, but the railroad went, the railroad went right over this. It's right on the middle of the, so we don't know.
Huh.
That's where you lift the bars up and you put the bad people, then you put the bars back down and you make them lay there and watch everybody walk over the top of them.
That's looking down over Groveland.
Yeah, that's
look at that tree. That's
what is that? Cool. Where is that looking down?
That's at? Right behind the car wash area where
see
they
the blue
where
blue
they cleared
the car wash.
That's
everything.
The car wash right there.
Yeah.
That's the hotel.
It's on the Hudson Railroad grade.
Yeah.
Okay. I see it.
This is just the And then this is
it's an old railroad.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So that was the.
Hey, how many of those all wheel drive vehicles we got? Two of them?
One.
Ooh, I'm going to get past those.
Yeah.
You got one?
Okay. But those are the,
those are the dirty bathroom.
Don't show me that.
So these were the meetings. This was what Jen was talking about. This was only, I think we only listed five. Of them here, right, or six?
We had to pick up a certain amount for the grant. Rachel, are you on? I don't know if Rachel remembers exactly how many we had, but we had to pick specific, unless this was just the one that outlined everything.
But we could try Peter up there, though. Peter Campus twice, and then Peter.
Oh.
And interesting. Anyway, there goes to eight. Yeah, so this is all of them. So these are just outlining. This is what we had to do for the grants, so that it was convenient put in there. And then we just had a bunch more of the engagement stuff. This is a, where we got all the little
stickers. Groveland, what is GRACE?
Groveland Regional Area Community Enhancement. That was, we were trying to brand the initial
outreach. I remember when you did that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of the first stuff, first input that we got and mapping that out. And then 49er Festival and movies. And then this is a great one. I like this one.
Who yeah. was that?
That was at the...
That's Hubby. That he makes a good elf, man.
Who is it?
It's my fiance.
Oh,
did you make the costume?
No, I didn't make the costume. Oh. I didn't take this picture either. Rachel
that was
did.
At the park for the Halloween.
Yeah.
They had an event down, a little stand down there for people to come and look at.
I remember you had one at the brewery too, that around the horn.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's this one.
Yes.
Yeah. We had a lot of good conversations that day. Gosh, it was great. And then, Jen went and Rachel went to the Rotary and presented to them. Got they're ready to build. Yeah. They're ready to go. She
where
got them
at?
Jacked up
at the High Mountain Lake Girl.
And then we had to do a Zoom meeting with the chamber, so I got a picture of that.
When they've been pretty supporting, huh?
Very much.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
That's old Tom Hernandez, right?
No.
It's
Well, I mean, he's a part of it, but I don't even know if he's not on the board or anything.
He participates in it.
He was at that thing last night for Yonder Yosemite, Tom Hernandez.
Chris.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he was there.
Okay. He was there, yeah. Christian Reese.
I don't know.
Shirley, Christian Reese, he's the Pine Mountain Lake homeowner. Shirley from Around the Horn and Patricia Ebb, she's a Pine Mountain Lake homeowner.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of good. It used to be so different. Too many years ago, the chamber president was somebody that lived in Don Pedro. And I wanted to go to one of the meetings. Somebody asked me to go. Well, I had to ask if I could join. And he wanted a letter of why I wanted to be there, what I was going to say. I mean, it was ridiculous. And I said, forget it.
That was the Highway 120 chamber?
Yes. He wanted it all quiet. He controlled, was very under his thumb, and that's why Ronnie left. All kinds of people left.
Ronnie.
He's good. Yeah.
Our Ronnie?
Yeah, Ronnie. Yeah.
These are a blast.
Changed completely.
They're really a lot of fun to be around.
Yeah.
And they're energetic, amazing amount of energy and just ready to partner with us and ready to, you know, they
have a chamber meeting this week. It's online. You should Zoom it. And
remember.
Yeah.
So this was the Blue Zone meeting, their summit. We're talking about the project. About,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, 40 people
mm-hmm.
on from throughout the country and locally. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, they've got 5 staff. And obviously, 5 staff locally.
Who's that?
But that's my computer.
So.
I bought that for me for Christmas.
Tell us about your little exercise here, Spence.
Which one?
Your drawing.
Oh, you know, if I hear it once, I hear it 20 times a day about grants. And you guys put in a grant. Nate, what's one of the first sewer grants? You got a sewer grant, right? You got grants out for sewer, CBD or something like that?
Well, we've got the Clean Water State Revolving Fund,
Well, it's that's for the sewer grant, right?
Yeah.
So you got a sewer grant.
Mm-hmm. We just finished.
And how much is that grant for?
5.8. Well, 75% of them. 75% are.
Okay, so it's 25% payback, right?
Yeah. Over 30 years at like 1.2%.
Over 30 years, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the name.
We produce
this is the amount.
This should be talked about at the workshop. When all
yeah, and this
here.
Is payback.
Yeah.
And this is time.
Term.
Mm-hmm.
Term, time, okay. And they all have this kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, everyone.
Okay, so we put this across the top, and then the grants down here and the amount they go to and stuff like that, and make some kind of spreadsheet that you can put on a wall in here someplace so when people like Kate Crow come in, they can see that stuff. I mean, we're not hiding it from anybody.
Right. Yeah, we you know? Did that just,
I mean, just I'm put just, that together. I just, you don't have to do this. I'm just spitballing here.
No, it's
you know, you do, you don't have to do that. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just saying, because if I hear it once in a meeting, so what? But I hear it four or five times in every meeting.
Well, and you know, I mean, definitely what I am hearing is not uncommon. Okay, first off, it's people concerned that we haven't thought something through and that mm-hmm. we're building something that's unsustainable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what I want to make sure we understood here is that what we're building is opening park space that's already there, building the new facilities that reuse the, you know, the existing land, that reduce maintenance costs and that increase the opportunity for the community.
Yeah.
And to generate revenue and everything else. I also hear people think asking, you know, why would we, can't we use the money that's out there for parks better by reducing rates? Put it, build something, mm-hmm. build a sewer with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't know that we can't use that.
The pockets of money don't come, they don't give you money. None of them just give you money.
Yeah.
What they do is you submit a project that meets all of this criteria, they award you funds. You build the project, you pay the contractor, and you submit monthly or every other month for reimbursement of that expense.
Right.
Only for authorized things, and they scrutinize it very carefully.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to define.
People don't understand how those grants work.
Or that we don't. Hang on. Let me just finish that thought. Sorry, guys. There's also been comments about why we're spending time on looking at money for the park when we know there are things that have to be taken care of with the sewer. We have applications in for the sewer as well. The sewer are technical engineering documents. We're doing inflow and infiltration studies. We're getting things dialed in so that we have even more projects to submit. There's a decade of money coming out right now.
Yeah.
And we've got to get with it with final projects that we don't, again, they don't just give us money and then projects happen.
Uh-huh.
You got to plan them out. You got to go through all the permits. So we're moving those.
We've got three grants going for the park, right?
Two applications so far, two more in the works.
Well, sort of three. Well, we got the land purchase that's out. The per capita.
Oh, per capita, yeah.
Per capita.
Sure, yeah. That's where my little spreadsheet.
Rural recreation
and tourism and the Queen California.
Put that in my little binder, and I can say, okay.
I can. I've already got the spreadsheet done of the things that we've secured. I can just add the ones that we've requested, just so that you can see. You know, we got another.
Don't put that on your to-do list.
It's good to see because we are getting. And most of the. Comments that I'm addressing now are social media rumor mill that get going and get charged up and get people, you know, nervous that what's going on. And
Janice has brought it to my attention is, and you, they're confused. There's so much information out there. People are confused. They don't know. They're not. There's
the information is, and I said that to Kay before she left. Information is available for all of this stuff, whether it's on our website or at a meeting or in the minutes.
Uh-huh.
They can look at afterwards. And if they have a question, they need to ask staff to define it. But they don't. They talk about it. It grows. And pretty soon, everybody's talking about Disneyland.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. which is what she asked about when she was in here. So, you know, we can, the information is there. Everything we have is so transparent. They're spending the time on social media talking about it amongst themselves
and
accusing, but they did not attend the meeting, that he did not send any emails in advance, that he did not make the phone calls, that he did not contact staff.
And they're dreaming it up. It's almost like it expands exponentially.
It's a fishnet. They're going like this, and they're collecting everything. It's amazing. Everything.
We will.
But
well, a lot of people, what we're trying to do, we started creating like a park outreach page where it's a, you know, it people can from the public can go, they can have a lot of the information on there, but to help guide them with that information. What a lot of people do, like what happened was, you know, we had the initial proposed concepts go out. And then everybody, well, where did these come from? And how is so they get, you know, they haven't been involved, so they miss all of the engagement and how we even got to this stuff. So what a lot of people get, they get one part of the puzzle and they ask a zillion questions because they only have one piece. And a lot of these questions have either been like they would know the answers if they were part of the entire process. That's why we always encourage people to partake in the process. Mm-hmm. And if not, like you said, we have only had two or three actual individuals reach out to the district and ask questions, which is wonderful. But I think it's just the time that we live in. You know, I see people will go on social media to ask to me, it's almost crazy to go and say, community, why is the water not working? Or why is, you know, if I'm a very clear, like, why are you going to a social meet? Why don't you call the place that's responsible for
something? Yeah, I saw one.
Oh. Why they do that, but it's a climate we have to live. We live in. We have to maneuver. Even though for us it's very frustrating because, you know, common sense dictates if you got a question about stuff, you go to the source for things.
Yeah.
A lot of people, you know, you don't know what white people do. So sometimes people may want to know information. Sometimes a lot of people probably just have the drama platform.
Tell me that. It was going to cost $30,000 to hook up to sewer. And he says, I said, how do you know that? Oh, it was on, you know.
I read it somewhere. I heard it
next
somewhere.
Door.
My neighbor said it. Yeah.
It was like people's water bill were, you know, $350.
I scratched my head. I can't understand.
They're not.
You know, okay. And the fact of the matter is the state is considering septic tanks a nuisance. And in 2 or 3 years they're going to be paying us to hook up to sewer. They're going to give us grants to put in sewer lines and pay to hook up to sewer. You know, I mean,
well,
people get so confused,
and it is confused, you know, just having for staff to convey to the board who's been on the board and then just involved in district business for a long time, it's confusing. So it's very, and that's just the nature, you know, we claim, oh, it's a transparent, everything, a transparency issue would be that there's information that's not being readily made available to people, right. Not, because it's not delivered to their doorstep, isn't a transparency. If you ask for it and it's delivered, that's transparency. Convenience, well, there's convenience, but you got to have some effort on your part, but everything is a process here. You're never just going to go on and go, okay, I'm going to understand all of this. That's why it's important to stay engaged in your local government. And if you can't participate in meetings, look at, like you said, there's minutes, there's recordings. You can call staff. There's a lot of ways to do that. And it is a lot of work. You know, none of this is
easy and free. No, look at how much energy you put into it. You put into it. Mm-hmm. And if you want to follow what they're doing, that's going to take some of your energy. Oh, so when I heard you talking about sphere of influence is going to be the new DCSD boundary, where'd that
come from? Exactly.
I
had to shake my head.
I haven't eaten nothing today at all.
Yeah.
I did drink some water.
I thought we were going to have lunch.
I know.
We were, and then things ran late.
Yeah.
And
things
happened. Yeah.
Rachel was sick. And
no,
So. To talk about the next steps, you know, I think we should have another committee meeting and get the partners involved. I really think that because this is such an important topic right now, it might be the subject for our first e-newsletter or first newsletter that we're. You know, we're still brainstorming internally. I'd like to land on.
I saw the way that developed. That was.
Huh? Oh no! I mean, it's honestly, It will get to a segment of our community that, you know, having some, that was the way I always did it before.
I hate to see people say bad things about the people who work here. It just really frosts my tail end because you guys work so hard at what you do.
Don't listen to them.
I don't. But when it's shoved in my face,
it's being uninformed or underinformed or not, you know, just it's easier to go sideways and go with the crowd that
it's
is making a bunch
cool.
of noise.
Sure.
You know? But it's very, very rewarding for us. This is a tear jerking exercise of, you know, vision and effort and passion and care for the community. That nothing in this gets us any special,
yeah, you're not be
you know, it's not that I make make money or we make money off of this stuff. And
yeah,
you know, it's a vision of getting facilities that can be enjoyed for generations of locals and visitors, and be things that increase the health of our community, change the trend, and really tie things together. So,
Zoe,
that said, I'd like to have a committee meeting where we can bring in, arrange it with the partner. So we'll start to noodle that a little bit.
Yeah, that's fine.
And just send me one of those things Rachel sends out, you know, meeting held at accept and all that.
Yeah.
I love those things.
We'll see if we can't get a majority of them in the same room, we'll get as many as we can and just, you know, have a focused agenda
discussion.
This
has been a good meeting. The board meeting and the park meeting.
There is only, let's see, there are two names that I don't necessarily recognize that have been involved through the whole time. I'd love to hear if anybody has any thoughts, comments, concerns. It's a little bit hard when it's just a name and no, I don't know if they're there or not.
Yeah, Tracy Canapo. I wonder if she's
Bert.
Is it Bert?
I'm sure.
Okay.
That's what I was going to say.
Peter or Bert or Tracy or whoever is on the line, if there's anybody that wants to chat.
Peter, everyone.
Okay. Hey, you know what? I realize we haven't been together in a while on this stuff. There's been a lot of work done, so
boy,
we appreciate
say,
you sticking with it and
Jennifer,
we've got all kinds of information to provide. So any questions, send them to me. We will answer those and
world class organization. That is amazing.
Okay, so I don't think we have any comments.
Okay, so thanks everybody for attending. It's still with us. It's been a long day. And we will look forward to hearing when we can do this again.
Yep.
Yeah, just send me one of those invitations.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, thanks everybody. We are now adjourning this
meeting. I am absolutely